You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
Yes, this week we are looking at ideologies. And with the recent kind of debacle slash mayhem around...
consternation.
Around the Pride Parade and what it stands for and the withdrawal of the police after they were not allowed to supposedly wear their uniforms in the upcoming parade. And
I think just on a note on that, I think something that hasn't really been discussed that much in the discussion of it is apparently the Pride Board said to police sort of last year and said you can participate in Pride.
Yeah, as will be discussed later in these interviews, they have made the choice to withdraw from Pride.
Yeah.
They are welcome at Pride, however, they're not welcome in uniform. And that decision that they've made will be is their decision and has not been made by Pride, as will kind of...
Well, because the Pride Board said to them, we want you to be making gains in your treatment of minorities and LGBT.
Yeah. Is it not?
And they haven't made, their kind of record...
Since the Pride Parade a couple of years ago, which was protested, where protesters' arms were broken and people were, I think, charged or at least arrested, they have made a lot of promises and they have not made... Like, they have not come through with a lot of the promises they've made. So it's interesting to see where this will go. And so
first up, we've got Emmy.
Yeah.
Here is Emmy. You want to press the button, Oscar?
The next one?
Yeah.
What is Pride to you?
So I'm a communist, and one of the really important things that Karl Marx teaches us is this idea of dialectics, the idea that everything's got internal contradictions inside of it. And when those contradictions come into conflict with one another, when they become antagonism, one part wins out and the entire system is transformed by that conflict. And to me, pride is where we see dialectics in motion, where we see these contradictions be brought out, turn into a struggle, and then society is transformed. So the Stonewall riots in New York, those were a point where the conflict between gay people, where we were criminalized, and the state became a fight. A big fight, actually, and a fight which we fucking won, right? Because we can win things. Pride is a struggle. It's a struggle against homophobia. It's a struggle against transphobia. It's a struggle against all of the shit that's trying to hold us down. Because we don't have to be held down. We can fight and we can win.
Perfect. Yeah, certainly. Yeah. But well said. How should pride for you be celebrated or commemorated or recognized? What do you think is like the ideal kind of way of recognizing pride?
That's a really interesting question. And I don't have a perfect answer to that because I'm not an event planner. But I know what pride shouldn't be, right? Which is pride should not be a procession of ads for a bunch of banks, Gary's Plumbing, the military who are murdering children in Afghanistan, and New Zealand's institutionally racist police force. And that is what pride has been turned into. So what should pride be? I think that pride should be something transgressive. Pride should be something funny. Failing that, pride should at least be something interesting. But I don't think we've had an interesting pride for a long time here in Auckland. And I think that's a real shame, because I am invested in gay liberation, and I am invested in being proud of myself as a big gay, but we haven't been getting that for a long time, and I think that that's a shame.
Yeah, certainly. Do you think that the police have been excluded from Pride, or have they excluded themselves from Pride?
Yeah, there's been some really interesting headlines about the cops being involved at Pride. One of the biggest ones, I think The Guardian in the UK did this. They said cops have been banned from Pride. And I don't think that we can accurately say that the cops have been banned from Pride. The cops are asked not to wear their police uniforms as a form of symbolic concession to the fact that New Zealand's police force is institutionally racist and violent. And I've got some stats on that we can talk about in a second. But they were not banned from Pride. They were asked to make one small symbolic concession to gay people, and they told us to eat shit. They just said they pulled out of the parade entirely because they weren't allowed to participate 100%. on their terms. Yeah. To me, that is not what allyship looks like. Allies do not put out press releases attacking the community that they claim to be supporting. And that's exactly what the New Zealand police did. They excluded themselves. They kicked themselves out of the parade.
Yeah. Do you think that the withdrawal of businesses and other kind of organizations and associations from Pride shows that they are perhaps unaware of the physical and psychological violence that the rainbow community has been subjected to historically and continue to be subjected to today by the police force? Or do you think it shows that the businesses were there as a token gesture to raise their image?
Oh, I mean, it's absolutely tokenizing the involvement of businesses in Pride. What the fuck does ANZ banking have to do with sucking dick in a men's toilet? Nothing. Nothing to do with any of the interesting and important gay shit that we do. What these businesses do get out of Pride is an opportunity to put their branding front and center as something that looks inclusive for whatever defanged, depoliticized version of inclusivity we want to be using Pride to present. And Pride should not be a PR outing for banks. Pride shouldn't be a PR outing for New Zealand's military when it's perpetrating war crimes in countries which we're invading because America told us to. And that's what Pride has been turned into. So these companies may or may not know that New Zealand has some of the most shameful rates of racist police brutality in the world. They may not know that New Zealand's police force still lets male cops strip search trans women, but they are still trying to use Pride for their own PR purposes as an attempt to make themselves look good. And that is what is shameful about this.
How do you think, if you think that they can, how do you think that businesses can and should show their support for the rainbow community without it being a said token gesture?
I think rather than businesses putting themselves front and center, rather than businesses running business floats saying, do your banking with Westpac, these businesses should be supporting queer and trans community organizations and supporting them to be proud of ourselves. If the New Zealand Defence Force loves gays so much, why does the New Zealand Defence Force need to be at this Pride Parade? Why can the New Zealand Defence Force not be doing the background work behind the scenes to make sure that gay people have what we need to survive in this society? Why do they need to be putting their branding front and centre at an event which is about the gay struggle for liberation?
Yeah, certainly. Will the withdrawal of the police, the Defence Force, and other associations that now no longer want to be associated with Pride, will this weirdly finally create some form of a Pride festival / parade that the LGBTQI plus community can actually be comfortable at?
I mean, the reality is that none of these groups were involved in Pride before 2013 anyway, and we did just fine. None of these groups had our backs at the Stonewall riots in 1969. None of these groups had our back when we were fighting, primarily them actually, in the streets for the right not to go to prison for being gay in this country when we were fighting for homosexual law reform. So the idea that if we don't have the backing of banks, war criminals, the cops, that we can't do Pride, it's completely ahistorical. We did Pride for decades while these groups fought us and spit on us, and we'll be able to continue doing Pride. We're here, we're queer, we're not going anywhere, and as long as there are gay people in streets, there will be a Pride parade.
Yes, that was Emi Arakete, and now we will hear from activist Betty Seal. What is Pride to you?
I've got 13 minutes.
What is Pride to me? Pride is a celebration of who we are in terms of being LGBTQI. It's being able to express ourselves in terms of our sexuality, our gender, but it's also a reminder to us about the struggle of our oppressions. And it's also the struggle of it's acknowledging what happened for trans people when the police were raiding places where a lot of the gay and lesbian people used to congregate. And so, you know, like it's an acknowledgement of all those things. And so that's what Pride is for me. And so, like, just, you know, more recently I've attended an AGM last year, but I've been involved with Pride over a few years, encouraging Pacific people to be engaged, to participate, and to have a voice.
Do you think that the police have been excluded from Pride, Or would you say it's more accurate to describe the situation as the police excluding themselves from Pride?
The police have not been excluded from Pride. There was a process by which there was a consultation we held throughout community in Auckland over a period of like 3 months, and certain different issues were being raised at those different hui. And of particular concern at many of those hui and gatherings was a question about corporate sponsorship, you know, corporates being so out there, police and corrections involvement. And so those are the kind of issues that kind of kept coming up, and they were kind of common themes throughout a lot of those hui and consultations. And so when the police were actually, one of those things, you know, police, people stated that they weren't comfortable with having police, marching with police in the parade. And police have been at the table negotiating a space for them in the Pride parade. And actually, that's all been fine. The board made a decision based on what they heard from the consultations and made a decision to ask the police, like, please participate. We just can't have, you know, but leave your uniforms at home, you know, and it gave the reasons for that. So police, they haven't been excluded. They are most welcome to participate. We have just asked that they actually don't wear the uniforms.
I think, yeah, it's been an interesting kind of process, especially in some of the media coverage and kind of framing how it seems to be quite focused on how the police aren't participating or how the businesses no longer are participating, which I think is somewhat of a misconception, and withdrawing support from the parade, it's like, well, it's still your choice at the end of the day. Do you think that it shows somewhat of a huge sense of entitlement to somewhat force one's own terms onto a parade for the recognition of those who have largely never been able to participate in society on 100% of their own terms?
Absolutely. Look, at the end of the day, the Pride Board, who have been mandated to make decisions on behalf of, you know, in terms of receiving applications for those who are going to be participating in the parade. So, like, they have had a process in place. They made the decision. Now, you know, what's interesting to me is actually sitting back and watching how, I suppose, at the end of the day, how people have responded to that decision and putting blame on the Pride Board. No one has actually asked why the police haven't changed their minds on the issue. Why is it that they haven't changed their decision on coming to participate? Because they can. They can participate. They can put a T-shirt on. They could wear anything else. They just don't have, they just don't need to be wearing the uniform, and this is the question where they're actually now demanding. Well, actually, people are demanding that they be allowed to wear the uniform. So, demanding the board to change their minds. And if they don't change their minds, we're going to pull your funding. We're going to roll you at an SGM, and that has come from quite a privileged group of people. They're the people that are actually, you know, if we were to ask the question, who benefits from all of this at the end of the day? And which voices are we privileging over those of the marginalised?
Certainly. You know?
And that is, you know, like, I'm really, I'm not a board member, but we elected two Pacific people onto that board, and we trust them. We trust them to actually be able to, they've come back and spoken to us. They were part of the consultation processes, and so we've been fully informed. We've been informed about this. We've been part of those consultations, and therefore believe that being part of this decision, even though a lot of us didn't get, you know, many people actually asked for the police not to be present at all. So there's been a compromise on both sides, and the backlash has come from, I believe, the people who actually hold quite a bit of power. And so, you know, that with all the sponsors and that pulling out, that what message are they giving us? What message are they giving? But, you know, what messages are they giving? And actually, what are they saying to the board? And they've stated it really clearly. We're coming to the SGM to roll you over, you know, to kind of change the board. because they believe that actually if they have a different board that things are going to change. Well, actually things are going to change in their favour.
Yeah, they're definitely.
So what is it? Yeah. If that is not a misuse of power, what is it?
That's a very good question. Why do you think the public and often like media expect minority communities now just to like take what they're given like with this and not complain? It's like, well, this is meant to be a kind of event in recognition or commemoration or celebration of this group. So why does this group now have to compromise and change the terms that they come forward with?
That is the story of our lives. If you're a minority and you're sitting in the margins, you are always fighting for the right to have a voice. You're always anything that we, I support the board in their, that would have taken quite a bit of courage to have made a decision that they probably knew that would have. I don't believe they knew it was going to have this kind of effect. I think what they were doing was trying to say we want the police to be involved, but we also want the rest of our communities to feel like that they can be involved as well. And so the whole use of power and privilege and, overturn a decision is, I find, really interesting. I'm watching the space. And I say to people, watch the space, because this is what some of us are having to kind of live through every single day. That's exactly what we are. We're just a minority. This minority has a voice at the moment. And we're going to stand to ensure that that voice is not lost. And it's that, it was the minorities that actually have given us the freedoms that we enjoy today. In terms of the LGBTQI community or the rainbow communities, and at least we forget.
Yeah, I think that's a very important message as well. Do you think it is possible or plausible for the police force to own their history of enforcing this law of making homosexuality illegal and continuing almost a psychological and in some cases physical violence against the rainbow community? Do you think that there will be a point where they can own this past and perhaps move forward? And do you think that their withdrawal is productive or almost takes back from perhaps where they were going with this?
Not at any time. I think we've only ever, at all of these consultations, you've always kind of just had one person kind of representing the so-called LGBTQI police, and this woman was self-appointed. She was self-appointed, and I know that from reading the feeds or her the media statements that have been put out. And that concerns me because I don't know, I don't know that that's, I'm not sure how that is for police. Sorry, what was the question again?
I just want to carry on with that thought, actually, just for a second. Yeah, it is, yeah. It raises a question of what kind of representation is, A, just having someone appointed, and B, self-appointing someone as a representative. Is that a contradiction in some form?
Of course it is it's a contradiction. But I suppose at the end of the day, the police have their own hierarchy. And I'm not sure how that is for them. Or if it's being self-appointed, I don't know what that, apart from actually she has come to the table on behalf of this group of people. Now, I don't know how that's been mandated or whether it has been mandated at all. It's just the way it's been. And it's not for me to say, I suppose, in a way. But actually, she did make the point of saying that she was self-appointed.
Which is brave.
That's right. But also, that also states quite clearly the intentions around that too. What's happened, the way in which this has panned out. Like, you've had one person who is self-appointed come and make decisions for a whole group of people that we haven't heard, that I haven't been amongst, and that I don't know how many of them turned up to the consultations. I understand that we had reps from the police, and one of them happened to be this same person, Tracy Phillips, actually. You know, the question is, what does it take? What does it take for police to kind of just come in their civvies? What is so hard about that?
Nothing.
Yeah. So if they were to turn up, you know, like, so, and then you've got all the funders or all those people who have actually pulled their support because they are fighting for the right of this institution. That is oppressive to some of us.
Yeah. Do you
and they have historically been the oppressors.
Yeah. Do you think that the withdrawal of businesses from Pride shows that they're perhaps unaware of the physical and psychological violence that the rainbow community has been subjected to historically and that continues today? Or do you think that it shows that perhaps the businesses were just there as a token gesture to up their image in the first place?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, they were there for their own, you know, their own benefit. This isn't about, you know, like, truly, like, and it also shows, like, you know, like, the people who are coming out against the board's decision are the, when I think about the privileged or when I think about those who feel quite entitled, they are, it is the state agents. They are people in businesses. They are, you know, people who feel that actually, you know, some people have said, you know, that's in the past. Well, for some of us, it isn't the past. It's very much the present. If we think about the colonial history of this country and actually the way it continues to impact on the way in which we live, on the way in which decisions are made, and the way in which governments are voted in, the way in which, you know, all of those things that we don't talk about but actually are very real. And so, like, this fight from the so-called minority isn't a new fight. This is a continued fight that will continue to be realised until justice has been realised. And so, you know, this is, so people are saying to us, this is not about racism, this is not about blah, blah, blah. Or maybe it is about racism, maybe it is about homophobia, but this isn't the place to be addressing those issues. This is the very place to be addressing those issues, because actually that's what Pride came about. Came about because it was a challenge to the oppressors.
Worry Week on The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.